Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Excuse the voice. It's just, you know, wanting to go away. So that's what's going to happen throughout the show. But we are so thankful that you're listening today. We are in 2017. Hard to believe that we're beginning a new year for many. Very excited that 2016 is no longer here, and now 2017 is here. So hopefully that you had a nice break. You took some time with family during Christmas and in the new year this past weekend, and folks are starting to get back in the swing of things. My son goes back to school tomorrow. I know that Knox County Schools will be going back very soon as well. So trying to get back into some type of normalcy for all of us. The weather's been crazy, which is why my voice is gone, and a lot of people are sick right now just because the what are we in the 60s right now, and then by the end of the week the highs are going to be in the low 30s. So welcome to Tennessee. So we are thankful for what we are able to do at Hope Resource Center. Over the last couple of days, I've spent pretty much my entire work day writing notes to those that chose to give a year-end gift to Hope Resource Center. And I look forward to giving you that number very soon as we tally up how much we were able to raise at year end. But one thing that really has amazed me throughout this fundraising season, and really what has amazed me throughout 2016, it's just been a wonderful opportunity to see so many choose to stand for life. And so here in a little while, I'm going to I'll be posting a video on our Facebook page, Investing Hope. And I want you to see the conference room in our office building right now, because what you see is diapers and strollers and car seats and pack and plays and all kinds of stuff that churches and individuals have donated to us as the year came to a close. And we're happy that they do that, because we provide and throw a little over 50 baby showers every single year. And so we need those items to provide to our patients. And what else has amazed me is the new donors that have come in over the past year. People that have never given to Hope Resource Center before, this year chose to give. People from Tennessee, people from East Tennessee, people from Middle Tennessee, people back in my hometown, which I really appreciate. People from Michigan, people from California had gifts today from Illinois and Alabama. So people from all over the country are standing for life. And so as we enter into January is Sanctity of Life Month. I'll be speaking at a number of churches over the next few weeks to celebrate life and to talk about Hope Resource Center and to give us a biblical context of why we're pro-life, while also understanding that there's a secular side to why we should be pro-life. We're certainly driven by our biblical sense of being pro-life, but there are folks that stand for life that are not believers, and we certainly want to reach out to them, and we want to get them the gospel, but we do want to stand with them as they stand for life. And so what I was blessed to see in 2016 is so many people coming and standing, offering assistance. Had an email today saying, "Hey, I just feel led to volunteer. I want to," and this is what I love about the email. The email didn't say, "I want to come and rake leaves," or "I want to come and paint a wall," which we need those things every now and then. But the email said, "I feel called to mentor young women." And that's what I love to hear, because that's what we need. We need people that want to come in and mentor and disciple young women. And so I love getting those emails. Got an email a couple of days ago that said, "Hey, can you tell me a little bit about Hope Resource Center?" And then they asked me a bunch of questions, and I'm happy to answer those questions because I want them to know what we do at Hope. And so they asked, do you partner with other organizations? Do you provide counseling? Do you provide, what type of services do you provide? And I was able to say that we have 4 nurses on staff. We have 3 nurse practitioners on staff. We provide free pregnancy tests. We have 3 ultrasound machines, and we provide free ultrasounds. We provide free STD testing and treatment. parenting classes, mentoring, material assistance. We provide all of those, and we partner with great organizations that help with adoption and great organizations that help with post-abortive needs. And so it is such a blessing from an executive director standpoint, from someone that leads the organization. It is a blessing to see people in our community, friends and neighbors, coming together to say, we appreciate the work that's going on at Hope Resource Center so much that we want to partner with you. And nothing excites me more than when I receive a check in the mail from someone that had in the past had no contact with Hope, or I receive an email from someone that says, I heard you speak at a church and I want to get involved, or I receive an email that says, I met one of your employees at a restaurant or at a church event, and they were telling me about Hope. I want to know more about your organization. Because the goal there is to serve this community the best way possible. And so in order to do that the right way, because we are a nonprofit, we need partners. There's just no getting around that. Absolutely no getting around that. So because we provide the free services, every patient we see, we take care of that. And by we, I mean you and the churches in this community and folks that stand with us. We're able to take care of the needs of our patients because so many stand. I mean, the last couple of days, I've probably written 100 notes, thank you notes. And that's just the beginning of the year in giving. And I don't say that to puff up Hope. I say that to say it is an amazing thing to watch. So many decide to stand for those that need us to stand. So many have been moved to get involved, whether they've heard a story or they've been affected by something in their own life. I had a sit down lunch with a pastor the other day. And as we're having this conversation and as we're talking through what we do at Hope and how we partner with this church, I find out that this particular pastor is post-abortive. And so I say that to say this issue, this life issue, this abortion issue touches so many. And what I want to talk about here in a second is how sometimes we get lost in the issue. And we focus so much on the issue that we forget about the people that are directly involved in the issue. So we see the issue. We see the issue as the be-all, end-all. And in doing that, in seeing the issue as the be-all, end-all, then we neglect the people. We neglect the young mom. We neglect the young man. We neglect the family. Well, because we have this issue we have to push. We have this issue we have to tell people about. And so what I want to do today is talk about how it's a both and. Yes, the issue is a big one. Yes, the life issue and the abortion issue is going to be the defining issue of my generation. I believe that. But we won't see progress within the life movement if all we do is focus on an issue. And I'll explain that here in a bit. And so 2016 has come to an end and we're ramping up and preparing for 2017. And there's a number of things special about 2017. Now, some of you listening and you're going, well, 2017 will be my 50th wedding anniversary. Maybe you're saying 2017 will be, we're getting a new president and I'm happy about that. Or you'll say 2017 is, my child will be graduating high school, or my child will be starting school. And so for many of us, we look at 2017, we look at the new year as a moment to say something great is happening. For some of you, you're saying 2017, it makes 10 years since I lost my spouse, 10 years since I lost my child. 10 years since I lost my mom or my dad or my grandma or my grandpa. And I think it's important as we enter into a new year that we do some reflection. We do some not only reflecting and looking back, but we look forward and say, okay, what does this year have for me? Not necessarily resolutions. If you do resolutions, great. But what is this? What am I going to set for my goals of 2017? Do I want to be a better dad, a better husband, a better coworker, a better leader, a better student, a better pastor, a better friend, a better son? What are we doing for the new year? And at Hope Resource Center, we look and we say 2017 is a special year because 2017 brings about 20 years of Hope Resource Center. 20 years of hope. Hope opened its doors in 1997. And so we're entering into our 20th year of operation. 20 years of serving this community. 20 years of seeing patients, of providing baby showers, of providing parenting classes and mentoring, and all the free expert care that we have. 20 years. It's a long time. That's a long time for a for-profit business, much less a nonprofit. And so what we're going to do from here on out, now every week we're not going to, you know, just focus on the 20 years, but we are going to celebrate 20 years of hope. I hope over the next few months I'll be able to provide you videos online and testimonies online of patients that came to Hope years ago and chose life. And now they have a child entering in middle school or a child entering in high school. Because you stood up and you helped. And so 2017, yes, it is a new year. And yes, we are prepared to embark on something special. But it is 20 years. 20 years of Hope Resource Center. And so what I would encourage you to do is remember that. Remember hope in your prayers. Pray for our patients. Pray for our staff. Pray for our board, our medical executive committee. Pray for the whole team as we continue to do this work and try to do it the best way that we know how. Pray for us as we partner with more churches in 2017, as we partner with more clinics in 2017, as we continue to see life celebrated the way it should be. Pray that the pro-life narrative would be one of love and care for people and not necessarily just issues. And that's where we're going to start when we come back. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen to Joy 620 on your radio. You can listen online at WRJZ.com. You can listen on podcast tomorrow or in the next couple of days. I'll have that up on podcast on our iTunes and Podbeam. We'll be sharing that on our Facebook page and our website as well, investinghope.com. If you want to learn more about Hope, you can do that. Go to investinghope.com. If you want to give, if you want to partner with us at Hope Resource Center, there's a big blue donate button right there on the homepage as well. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram. We have all those places covered. And so we are certainly thankful for you and thankful for this new year. So I've been wrestling with a couple questions for the past week or so. I took off about 2 weeks, really, over the holidays. I worked a Monday, and then I was off starting on the Tuesday, and my first day back at work was yesterday. And so took that time to go visit family and to have Christmas with my mom and my dad, my stepdad, and then have Christmas with my grandparents and have Christmas with my father-in-law, and then we made it back home by Christmas Eve to be at our house, and so our kids could have Christmas at our house here in Knoxville. And so I've been wrestling with a couple of questions. Are we issue-driven or people-driven? Is our work in the Life Movement focused on how we can use programs to win a debate on the life issue or how we can reach people. Now, I realize that for some, this is just semantics. We fight for the issue of life, and we do not apologize for that. And I absolutely believe that the life issue is the defining issue of my generation. One, however, can have these opinions and still champion people over issues. And so I'm simply cautioning us, myself included, to check our motives. Are we so caught up in the issue that we fail to recognize the actual people involved in the issue? Now, in our work at Hope, we cannot focus solely on an issue when we have a different patient with a different story stepping in our doors every hour or so. We must be willing to see our patients as people in need of love, service, and care, and not simply an issue that can be solved with a creative program. We are entering, as I said earlier, into our 20th year as an organization, serving thousands during that time. We have served the young woman, not yet in high school, facing a pregnancy. The young man who just started his college career and now finds his life in disarray as he has contracted an STD. The young college student that realizes her quote-unquote friend has become her rapist as he slips something into her drink. The heterosexual, the homosexual, the Christian family struggling with infidelity, or the young man struggling with his gender identity. Now, this only scratches the surface of the different types of people we have seen since 1997. We have programs, policies, and procedures that we adhere to in our work, but these programmatic structures must always recognize the humanness of our patients. We must recognize their stories and meet them there as we serve them and point them to a greater truth. Many of these patients believe their circumstances define them or determine their identity. Now, we know this to be a false conclusion, but that doesn't change the reality for a patient who is struggling. Many of us have issues that move us to get engaged and seek change. I champion this mindset. There are many issues that need addressing in our society. I'm simply encouraging us to understand that behind every issue are real people with real needs. Our advocacy and work in pregnancy centers will go much further when we elevate people over issues. This elevation does not water down our work or our desire to see change in the courts or legislation. This, instead, allows us to recognize the stories and struggles of those we serve and their need of assistance. This mindset of people over issues will ultimately, I believe, allow us to reach the goals we have all set before us. This will force us to hear people, see people, and love people better as we seek to see life celebrated. There has been tremendous work done in the life movement from different areas over the years. I am grateful for the consistent advocacy of so many. I would never want to detract from that work, for it is that work that moved me to get involved myself. Great movements, however, must always spend time in reflection and look for ways to be better. Let's start 2017 off with our eyes not fixed on an issue, but instead on those people directly involved in the issue we care so deeply about. Is that who we are? Is that who you are? And we've said a number of times on the show that maybe for you, life isn't the one issue that drives you. Maybe it's poverty. Maybe it's orphans. Maybe, you know, fill in the blank. But are you an issue-driven person or a people-driven person? See, it's one thing to find an issue that you're passionate about and go in after it. But are your motives simply because of that issue or because of the people that are involved with it? And my argument is, it's about the people. Yes, the life issue, the abortion issue, is the defining issue of my generation. But again, we don't move forward if we neglect to see the people that are affected by it. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if we neglect those that are post-abortive, and we seek to cast stones at those that are post-abortive, and we seek to pound people over the head with our thoughts and our opinions, then are we issue-driven or people-driven? Now, again, I'm not telling us to water down what we believe. I am unapologetically pro-life in every instance, every case, no exceptions. And I would tell that to anyone. But my motivation, and this hasn't always been the case with me, and you can listen to past shows as I walk through that, but my motivation cannot simply be, well, because people should just be pro-life. The motivation needs to be people. So I've said it before that yes, Roe v. Wade passed and abortion is the law of the land. But the hearts and minds of the people are up for grabs. So how do we win hearts and minds of the people? Well, we win them by not using them as pawns in our dialogue and in our conversation. We win them when we see them as who they are, as people, made in the image of God, who may have differing views than us, who may disagree with us, who may even treat us terribly. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be traveling to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. And I have no doubt in my mind that there's going to be protesters there. So we'll have thousands marching for life. And then probably at the end of that, if it's like last year, there will be, you know, for life. So it would be easy for me to end that march and look at them and tell them exactly what I think about them. But instead, I see them as people that are lost. People that are misguided. People at times that annoy me and anger me and bring out things inside of me that I want to try to not let out. But it's more than an issue for me. It's more than an issue for the staff at Hope. It's more than an issue for the board at Hope and for the 2,500 pregnancy centers across this country. It is an issue. But more than that, it's people. People in need. Now, I spoke earlier I was talking about a young patient that found out her quote-unquote friend was now her rapist. So am I to look at that patient? Are we to look at that patient and say, well, you don't understand. Pro-life is the way to go. That's what we have to do. That's who we are. That's the issue of the day. She's not wanting to hear that. She's wanting to know that she's going to be loved and cared for. That's why we sit down with her. That's why we love on her. That's why we offer support for her. Why we encourage choosing life. It is a both and. The issue is very important. But the issue must never take over the actual person that we're dealing with. We'll talk more when we come back.
I know that he gave his life for me, set all our spirits free.
And we're back. As Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So we ended the last segment talking about people over issues, people greater than issues. Now some are going to hear that and say, oh, he's saying that we don't need to stand and fight for life. Well, that's just, then you're not listening. That is certainly not what I'm saying. I mean, I'm going to Washington, D.C. to march for life in the next few weeks. I wake up every day dealing with the life issue, thinking about, meditating on how we can reach more people, trying to partner with many folks. This Friday, March for Life is sending a videographer to Hope Resource Center to highlight pregnancy centers and the work that we're doing to partner with the national movement of March for Life. I'm a supporter of the Tennessee Right to Life and the National Right to Life. And so, yes, it is an issue that needs to be dealt with. But as we're dealing with this issue, are we seeing the people affected? And I'm not necessarily even meaning those that stand in opposition to us. Now, we should, because they're image bearers. But what tends to happen with people on both sides is we champion an issue. And so on our side, it would be the pro-life issue. On the other side, it would be the abortion issue. We need more abortions. It needs to be, you know, for any reason at any time. We don't need to have any regulations or anything to stop it. And what happens is you have that side, you have our side. And what we do is we just go at each other. And in doing that, at times we can neglect that young mom that is just struggling, that needs help. That young man that's just struggling and needs help. That young family that's struggling and needs help. And so when you're issue driven, and I say this from a place where that was me for so many years of my life. I went to college and studied political science because I was issue driven. That was who I was. That was my identity. Issues. I didn't care about the people. I cared about winning. And so now what we have to do is we have to then look and say, okay, what about the people involved? Because the vast majority of the population don't get up and think about the abortion issue. They don't get up and think about the life issue. It's not like they're getting up and they're anti-life or they're pro-abortion. They just get up and live their life. The vast majority of the population, that is their day. And so at times we, you know, even if you look at cable news and all the news outlets, vast majority of the population are not watching the news. They're not looking at the research. They're not reading the articles. And so if that is true, that doesn't mean we go away from the news and the articles. And that doesn't mean I'm not trying to have a conversation with a reporter or a journalist or somebody on TV, because I want to push the life movement. I want to get the life movement in front of people. But where we need to start is our neighbor. Where we need to start is in our communities, in our churches. That's why Sanctity of Life Month is so important. It gives an opportunity for the church to speak about life, not just the issue, but to say there are men and women in our congregation that are struggling. There are men and women in our congregation that are post-abortive. There are men and women in our congregation that have adopted and have placed their children for adoption. See, that's putting a face. That's looking at people and not just an issue. And so that's why this month it's important for churches to do that. You know, and at times you'll hear people say, well, that's a political issue. I just don't want to get involved. It's so much more than that. But at times we turn it into that, our side and the other side. But I've said it before, when patients walk in our doors, they're not thinking about who we voted for. They're not thinking about the piece of legislation that's making it to Governor Haslam's desk. They're not thinking about those things. 9 times out of 10, they come in and they're thinking about the situation that they find themselves in. They're thinking, I may have AIDS. I may be pregnant. I may be pregnant and it's not my spouse's baby. It's not my boyfriend's baby. I haven't even started high school yet. Now there's a part of us that when we hear that, we want to jump and say, well, you've made your bed, now you have to lay in it. Look at these choices that you've made. And that's true. Those would be true statements. Not helpful statements, but true statements. And you see, so if our focus was solely on the issue, then all we would be trying to do is convince them that pro-life was the way to go. But it can't be our only issue. We have to meet them where they're at. In the next few weeks when I'm speaking at churches, I'm going to focus on the story of the woman at the well and what Jesus did and how Jesus approached. Here you have a woman that that has been around with a lot of men, and Jesus even says, and the man in your house right now is not your husband. And everyone knew who this woman was. This woman was always treated as a piece of meat by other men, not respected, not loved. And I know that because she had multiple ones. And there was a man living with her at the time and not married to her. But what did Jesus do? He didn't water down the gospel. He didn't shame her. He told her truth. You seek to quench your thirst at this well. What I have to offer will quench thirst forever. For maybe the first time in this woman's life, a man showed her that she had some value. A man respected her. A man cared enough about her as a person to talk with her and have a conversation and didn't see her as just a piece of meat that he could use. So folks, if Jesus modeled it, and if that's the way Jesus operated, then that needs to be the way we operate. And notice that he didn't water down anything. He still pointed her to truth. He still pointed her to the greater truth. And so as we're having this debate, and as we're doing these things, and as we're pushing for pro-life legislation, as we're pushing for pro-life justices, and as we're pushing for pro-life legislatures across the country and governorships and all these things, those are good things. And I stand with you in that. I think at times when I talk the way I do, people walk away and they go, who is this, you know, God saying that we shouldn't be involved in the political side of things? I'm not saying that at all. Get involved in those things. Vote for pro-life people. We must. But it can't stop there. That can't be what drives us. What drives us has to be the people. Because the vast majority of the populace aren't defined by their politics. They don't get up in the morning and go to bed at night thinking about that, thinking about pro-life issues. But when they're faced with a unplanned pregnancy or a situation where they need assistance, are we prepared to be there for them? That's the question we have to answer. We'll be back.
Be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chain.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks again for listening. Again, if you want to learn more about Hope, go to investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Investing Hope, Twitter, and Instagram as well. We've been talking today about people being greater than issues. And so, yes, we have an issue that we are fighting and an issue that we are standing for. But in fighting for that, we must never neglect the actual people that are involved. And as we were at break, I pulled up Twitter and I saw an article posted by Pregnancy Help News. And this is a great website you need to check out, pregnancyhelpnews.com. But they're talking about, if you'll remember back a few years ago, Kermit Gosnell had an abortion clinic in Philadelphia. And it was just investigators even tabbed it a house of horrors. It was a terrible thing what they were doing to women and what they were doing to babies. And they went in and arrested him, and they closed the shop down. Well, if we were just issue-driven people, we would say, hooray, it's closed, let's move on. But some pregnancy center workers in Philadelphia said, no, that's not enough. We don't want to reclaim that. And so they have purchased the building right across the road from that old clinic. And I think their goal is to eventually go ahead and get the actual building where the abortion clinic was housed to offer free services, to offer care and help and support for those moms facing an unplanned pregnancy. Folks, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to say people are greater than issues. Because, yes, we want to see that abortion clinic close. But it's not just that. We want to still provide care and service for those in need. And that's what we're able to do at Hope Resource Center because of you and because of 50-plus churches in the community and because of businesses in the community and because of grants and things like that, where we can say we stand with pro-life issues and we seek to see those issues move forward. But at the same time, we see people as image bearers that deserve our care, deserve our love. And so let's not let ourselves get caught up in the back and forth of our side and their side. Let us understand that there's a vast majority of our population that wouldn't claim to be on either of those sides, that are facing some struggles, that are facing difficult times. And these folks are in our communities. They're in our churches. They're at our workplaces. They're at the stores we visit, the restaurants we visit. And so when we understand that, then we begin to see, okay, this is why I'm pro-life. This is why I want to see a difference made. This is why I want to see the courts change. This is why I want to see legislation change. This is why I want to see our governors sign in these pieces of legislation. Not just to win, not just to push an issue, but because the people need it. And so ultimately what it does is it shifts everything for us. And it, again, you know, a lot of times you hear abortion supporters say, well, they're humanizing the fetus. Well, why do they, first off, that's a ridiculous statement, but let's just take that statement for what it is. Why do they get so upset when people, in a Doritos commercial, they humanized a fetus? Why do they get upset? Well, they get upset because when you put a face to the issue, it makes a difference. It moves people. And so let us not be a people that get caught up in simple issues. And these are certainly not simple issues in life and abortion. But let us be a people that sees the people that are involved in the issues. That sees that young mom, that sees that young dad, that sees that young family, that college student, the middle schooler. And although we may say, how in the world did they get there? And we may have those questions, and we may even ask those questions. But ultimately, they're there. Right? When Jesus walked up to the woman at the well, he didn't say, how in the world did you get here? No, he knew how she got there. He knew she chose to go to the well that day at that time because no one else would be around. He knew she had a man at her home that wasn't her husband. He knew that she had a history with men. He knew all of that. So what was he trying to do? He was approaching her with love and respect, offering her truth and guidance and a way out. And so, again, if that is the model laid out by our Savior, then I think, I didn't finish seminary, but I think that's what we need to do. If our Savior models it, then it's probably a good place to start and say, okay, maybe I need to see what this is all about. And one of the best ways you can do that is you can partner with organizations like Hope Resource Center. There's pregnancy centers all over this country. There's pregnancy centers all over this state that are unable to operate without your support. unable to serve the men and women in their community without your support, unable to provide the pregnancy tests, to provide the ultrasounds, to provide the parenting classes without your support. This is a fight worth fighting. But not just because we want to win on the issue, but because there's people worth fighting for. Made in the image of God. Let that be our mission. Let that be our focus for 2017. That we would see people above issues. Again, if you want to learn more about Hope, investinghope.com. You'll be able to hear this show on podcast tomorrow on iTunes and on our website as well. If you're thinking, maybe you're listening and you're my mom and you're saying, man, I really want to listen to all of his shows, then you can. They're all there on our website, and we would certainly appreciate that as well. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just a bend. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there. You built a mighty fortress.